You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by Michael Pregent. He is an adjunct fellow these days at the Hudson Institute, a contributing writer at the Daily Beast, but also a man with a lot of experience in the United States military, where he served as an intelligence officer and an embedded military advisor. In the region of very much concern to us at the moment. President Obama, of course, has just completed 2 days of talks with the Saudi government and the Gulf Cooperation Council. And I was struck by a piece that you had, Michael, recently about the Saudis as America's great ally. And just was talking with my colleague Fred Flights, who takes a somewhat different view of it. Lay out the case for why Saudi Arabia is, in your judgment, a great ally.
Well, we don't pick the titles of these articles.
I understand.
The initial title was, when we give preference to a dedicated enemy over a dedicated ally, we further destabilize the Middle East. So why Saudi is a great American ally? This article was in the context of Saudi being an ally in the fight against Al-Qaeda and ISIS, a proven ally, an ally going back 70 years that has helped the U.S., do many things in the Middle East. I understand the 28-page report is what everybody's talking about that basically ties Saudi to the 9/11 attacks. The 9/11 Commission said that the Saudi institutions, the Saudi government, the Saudi royal family played no part in this. There are individuals in the country that may have funded terrorism, but this wasn't a government-directed, royal family-directed attempt to support the 9/11 hijackers. What I meant to do, what I tried to do in the article was contrast Iran and Saudi Arabia. Iran has a dedicated, uniformed, government-funded terror unit called the Quds Force that exports terrorism, and its mission is to destabilize U.S., Israeli, and Sunni Arab ally interests in the region.
We're visiting with Michael Pregent. He is an adjunct fellow at the Hudson Institute these days, but a man with considerable experience in the United States military as an intelligence officer in the Middle East. And you, Michael, you've just, I think, made a pretty powerful case that relative to the Iranians, for sure, the Saudis are a great American ally. I'd just like to explore some of the pieces of this. And, you know, what they did or didn't do in 9/11 is something that is a matter of, to some extent, debate. The bigger problem, it seems to me, with respect to the government of Saudi Arabia, and I mean the government of Saudi Arabia, not simply the various princes or other members of the elite there, the clerical elite, the business elite, and so on, is that they have been deeply involved for a long time in promoting this doctrine they call Sharia and all of the jihad and Islamic supremacism that goes along with it. And so while you're right, there seem to be various ways in which they've been helpful to us when it serves their purposes. They have been a driving force behind the larger threat we're facing now from Islamists of various stripes, the Al-Qaedas, the Islamic States even, but certainly the Muslim Brotherhood. How would you respond to that?
Well, there's educational efforts. We know that Saudi Arabia pushes its textbooks on countries, including this one, that promote Islam and promote Sharia law and promote Muslim ideology. I wouldn't call it Wahhabism at this point, but there's an educational campaign that we can surely go after saying that, hey, these textbooks shouldn't be in there depicting Israelis and Americans as bad and talking about what you need to do to convert people. There's that. That's not what this article is about. This article is about a country's role in helping the U.S., especially now, in the fight against ISIS. I'm looking at the present. We're looking at what Saudi's doing now. The history of Saudi's support to these types of things, the one argument that can be made is, if they're doing this, and yes, there are these outlets to push this religious ideology, they're not very good at it when it comes to mobilizing terrorists, disparate jihadist groups. Iran is very good at that. Iran has a directorate that makes everybody work together to do something. I feel that these rogue individuals that may be throwing money at these disparate groups can't get them to work together. Basically, they ask the question, who wants to fight Assad, five groups raise their hands, rich Saudi individuals throw money at these groups without any concerted strategy to get them to work together. That's the difference between Saudi Arabia and Iran.
Well, it's an interesting point, and I'm not sure we can prove it one way or the other, but it does seem as though there's been a lot of it over the years. And I just wonder, as an example, Michael Prejant, the thing that I'm really struck by is what we're dealing with at the moment. And yes, you're right, in part it's the Islamic State, but we're also dealing with actual economic warfare against this country, as well as that's being threatened. Specifically, I'm thinking of the explanation that the Saudis themselves have given as to why they've driven down the price of oil, being destroying the U.S. fracking industry. And I just wonder, does this not at a minimum translate into these guys being maybe frenemies, but not necessarily the bona fide ally that you've described?
Well, you mentioned something earlier about doing things when it serves their interests. Well, their economy serves their interests. I'm not justifying this. If this was an economic debate, I would say, the fracking industry in the United States does do harm not only to Saudi Arabia, but to Iran and to Russia. But the Saudi flooding the oil markets was preemptive. They started doing that because Iran started threatening that they were going to do it post-Iran deal. And there's that again. There are a lot of things you can criticize Saudi Arabia for. This article focuses on terrorism, their support. They're a key ally. This is not the time to abandon them. I believe this is basically, we worked the Iran deal together, right? Every time we had a debate with somebody about Iran, the answer was, well, isn't Saudi just as bad? And I think that's what we're seeing now, is with Iran's provocations, with the ballistic missile launches, Soleimani going to Moscow again, Assad's in a much better position than he was pre-Iran deal. There are a lot of Democrats, senators, and congressmen that are worried that their support for the Iran deal now is going to backfire.
Yeah, well, they should be. It is backfiring. I hope it'll be on them as well as it clearly is on the country. Let me just ask you, Michael. It would seem to me, and I take all these points on, relatively speaking, perhaps the Saudis being less problematic than the Iranians. My biggest concern, even if you're just focusing on terrorism, is that the Saudis have, in fact, I believe at the governmental level, certainly through the Muslim Brotherhood and its funding of them, been supporting these Islamic supremacists. And their theory seems to be, as long as they're engaged in jihad outside the kingdom or oriented away from the royals and their rule, it's okay. At the very least, they'll turn a blind eye to it, if not actually support it at the governmental level, as well as sort of the golden chain and so on. And I just wonder, in closing, is that not something that we should be holding them accountable for, rather than giving them a pass?
Well, that's the thing. The Muslim Brotherhood decided a long time ago that the way to actually change America, it would not be through violent means. It would be through an educational campaign. It would be to get the press to cry racism anytime somebody says something that's anti-Muslim or something that is a slight towards Islam. We're seeing that. I mean, they've been successful as far as that goes. A Muslim Brotherhood affiliate can cry racism and the press will come running. So they're very effective at that. Those are two different things.
It's a kind of pre-violent program, seems to me. It's sort of an infrastructure building for the other to come. Michael, this is a subject we're going to return to with you soon, I hope, if I may. But we're hard out of time right now. I thank you for what you've done for our country in uniform and that service you're rendering now at an institution I regard very highly, the Hudson Institute. And I hope you'll come back to us again soon. Next up, we'll speak with Dr. Ilan Berman. We'll get his take on developments in Russia that are quite troublesome. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.